We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
When I went to sleep, Trump had to leave. How the hell did we go from election day to election week? The posters got it wrong again. They must have been confused. But I tell ya, I about to shit myself when I turn on the morning news. Cause they found pilots from the mountains at 3 a.m. All the way from Georgia to Michigan. They took the caps off of their Sharpies and they filled them purses. All those pilots full of ballots, all for Joe Biden. Well, isn't that sweet? He got just what he needs. They found just enough folks to get sleepy Joe to leave. He said, come on, man, I hope you'll be here for it. Donald Trump said, fuck that shit, I'll see your ass in court. Bring those pallets, full of ballots, found at 3 a.m. All the way from Georgia to Michigan. But it doesn't matter, cause they found pallets in the valleys at 3 a.m. All the way from Arizona to Wisconsin. They want us to bend over so they can fuck us again. Pallets full of pallets, that's the only way they'll win. There's pallets full of pallets, all for somebody. God bless Donald Trump.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Armchair Survivalist. Today is December the 20th in the year 2020. My name is Kurt Wilson. I'm the Armchair Survivalist. Welcome to my show. If you go to armchairsurvivalist.com, anywhere on that page, well, I scroll down, actually, and you'll go to the bottom of that page, and you'll see different ways to listen to me. I'm on every app that you can think of, from iHeartRadio to Anchor, to Stitcher, to Google, to Apple, there's so many different names of these things out there. I'm on all of them. I'm also on YouTube, which astounds me because I don't understand why they haven't taken me off. I've got over 200 shows on there. I'm on Global Star 3 Satellite. That is Galaxy 19 Transponder 5 KU Band, frequency 11836. They have a little 24/7 live feed on my page there. When you scroll down, you'll see the little cute little satellite dish kind of sweeping back and forth. And that's where you can listen on a live feed there. You can listen in my chat room, armchairsurvivalist.com. Top of the page, you will see some links up there. One of them will say, listen to my show live Sunday in the chat room, because that's when I'm on. Sunday Pacific time, 2 to 4. If you miss the show and you want to listen to the show, the most current show, right away, well, there's a link there in kind of an aqua-colored box that says listen 24 hours a day to the recent show of the Armchair Survivalist. Click there, and there's the recent show, if you want to download the show. On the left-hand side, you will see the little white and black nipper dog listening to the RCA Victor gramophone. Click on it, and it'll take you to the website that has all of my current shows for the current year. Now, if you want to download them, you better get to it now, because I will delete all of them at the end of the year. So I usually give you an extra month or so to download any of the shows for the current year. Go there and do it. Okay, now also, if you make it simple, you can listen in on your phone. You dial area code 641-741-0371. That's 641-741-0371. It is not toll-free. It's on your dime, if there is a dime there. And that's how you listen. So again, armchairsurvivalist.com, and you can find out all this neat stuff. December 27th is going to be my Christmas show. You'll enjoy it. I have a Christmas show every year, and this will be some old-time theater-type stuff. We're going to get into the economy. For a few years now, we've been hearing about how the newspapers are going down, and they're laying off thousands of people, and you know, it's getting worse now because of this pandemic that they foisted onto us. But you're going to be seeing many, many newspapers folding up. I've already seen a dozen of them in the past 6 months. There are things shutting down, things changing. Yes, this is the Great Reset. JCPenney, it went into bankruptcy. I told you about this last year. Well, it's out of bankruptcy now, and there's new owners. I don't want to go into who they are, but they think that they know how to make it work now. So they're going to be shutting down a whole bunch of penny stores and keeping some of the core ones open. Well, I'm going to have a website. I'm going to have a link to this on my website, armchairsurvivalist.com, because I put my show notes up. Everything I talk about, I got a link to it. Apparently, they're going to be closing some stores here in Idaho. So they will be telling everybody where they're going to be closing the stores, and it'll be on the link. Oh, another massive tech company, Oracle, is leaving California. You know, they're getting out of there. They can't handle it anymore. You have an insane communist that's in charge of the state. So these giant companies are leaving. Oracle's leaving. Tesla's leaving. And here's the problem, okay? So, yeah, they want to get out because they don't like the taxes. They don't like all of this problem. And we have this problem. We have this problem up here in Idaho right now. Because all of the communists that don't like communism or taxes are leaving Portland, Seattle, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and they're coming here. Or they're going to Texas. The problem is they're bringing their communistic attitudes with them. So now you have problems in all of these areas. Okay, you know what credit card skimmers are. They're little tiny electronic devices that fit right over the front of where you stick a credit card, like on a gas machine at the gas station, right? Okay, most people can't even tell that there's a skimmer on there. And you put your credit card in, it reads your credit card first, and then it goes into then your credit card keeps going, goes into the normal reading device, and then you pull it out, and you don't even know. Okay, there is a new form of hacking where they can go onto websites that have shopping carts. Now, Survival Enterprises has never used a shopping cart, not like everybody else does. They would use different things like Shopify, and we don't do that. But what these scammers can do, they can insert a program into these shopping carts. And that's why we don't use a shopping cart like that, because they're very susceptible to hacking. And what this program does is, as you enter all your credit card data, it copies just that. And then at a given time, like usually when everybody's in bed and the website's not being monitored, it uploads it all to the hacker. Okay? I don't know how you're going to tell what's going on. I don't know how you can tell that it's even happening on a website until your credit card gets stolen. Now we're going to get into the health department. There's not that much, believe it or not, there. I'm not even going to talk about the vaccinations because the fraud with that, the lies and the deaths that are going to be popping up, they're starting to show up right now anyway. You just read the news, you'll find out about all of this stuff. I told you, a friend of mine who is he's the only mortician there is in the Keys, and he's upset because the hospitals are claiming everybody who dies there dies of complications with COVID, which is a lie. But it's not being talked about in the media in any way, shape, or form. Instead, every single day, and I mean this, every single day, ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, Fox News, all of the mainstream media come out and say, we've hit another milestone, another deadly milestone. Yeah. People now, from the beginning, people are being classified as dying from COVID if they get shot in the head, if they drowned, if they fall off a 600-foot cliff, if they do any of these things. Now, the problem is, in the United States, every time somebody dies of COVID in a hospital, that hospital gets a $20,000 bonus. This is real. You can find this out yourself. I have already posted all the links. I've told everybody about this, and that's why I have these links. Because the communists in the United States, you want to call them Democrats, you go right ahead. Communists in the United States, no matter what proof is put in front of their face, they say, you can't, that's not real, you can't prove that. Well, that's why I always have, always, links to everything that I'm talking about. I'm looking at first I said I'm not going to talk about the vaccination, now I am. Even though our government has given millions and millions and millions of dollars to these companies that are now coming out with the so-called vaccination, they're still charging the federal government for each shot. So I think Moderna is charging $35 per shot. Well, accidentally, a Belgian official in Belgium, he accidentally posted on his Twitter account what the EU is paying for all of these shots. And it's anywhere from, and these are in pounds, so $1.78, $8.50, $7.56, $12, $10, Moderna's $18, and they're charging our government $35. All right, we're getting to get into food. In Wisconsin, there's this traditional sandwich, and a guy gave me one once, and I took a bite out of it, and I almost threw up. It's a mixture of raw meat. They would grind up top sirloin or something. You know, the cheap ones are just hamburger. But they would take raw meat and they'd mix it with seasonings. They'd put celery in there. They'd put jalapenos in there sometimes. They'd put onions in there and mix it, make a sandwich. They call it a tiger meat or a cannibal sandwich. Guys, don't. Because bacteria is so prevalent now in our food supply that you will get sick. You will get a bacteria in there. There's not even a question about it. And I've talked to you about this. The two main races that are handling and processing our meats in the United States are Mexicans and Muslims, and neither of them know anything about hygiene. They only know what they're told. We got a problem happening up here is the rising cost to feed animals. We've got a customer who's a cattle rancher in Montana. This is the second time in a year that he had to sell off a lot of his cattle because he can't get feed. And it's not like hay, you know. It's not like, oh, they're eating hay. They eat a special type of feed, and this feed, and it's including hogs. It's not just cattle. It's hogs are having this problem. It's soy. The Ice Age farmer talked about the soy problem last week. He's got it dialed in a lot better than he did last week.
There's a lot going on right now between the election and the vaccines, but I still want to talk about food and soybeans, because that is the one aspect that will dictate the way all of these other agendas play out. You control food, you control the people, and right now, they do control the food. I talked in my last report about the prospect of a soybean shortage and what that might entail. Got some feedback, both from commodity traders who said, yes, it's true that China is buying more soybeans than ever before in history, but at some point, price rationing will come into effect. In other words, the prices will get high because supply gets tight and then they'll stop buying. But that's not the case, and I'll explain why. And I also heard from a number of people who said, well, that's great. We don't need soybeans. That's only for soy boys anyway. And that is also incorrect. Soy is actually tremendously infiltrated the entire human food supply, as well as, of course, dominating animal feed. In the wake of the USDA's report yesterday, which further slashed soybean ending stocks, I think it's time to talk further about this, because I don't like the trajectory we're on right now, and I didn't want to ring the alarm bell anymore than I already have until we saw the numbers from yesterday. But again, as you can see here, the USDA further slashed from 190 million bushels down now to 175. And so this is a conversation we need to have. And reading from John Perkins here, who wrote before the yesterday's report that, quote, U.S. corn and soybean ending stocks have rapidly gotten tighter since the initial estimates in May due to crop losses and stronger than expected demand. Now we have to cut our guesses by more than half. It's just not there. We thought we had corn. It's not. It's gone. We thought we had soybeans. They're not there either. Even as we continue to sell all kinds of food to China hand over fist at historical levels. There's no real frame of reference. No one really knows what's going on. We don't have any historical precedent for this. Yes, there have been shortages of soybeans before, but there were other places in the world that had them and the market could shift and, you know, sort of patch up the holes there. But this is unique for a couple reasons. The first, as I mentioned, is that price rationing will not work. And there are two reasons chiefly that that's the case. First of all, when the USDA released their slashed numbers again yesterday, even further than in November, the price of beans fell. That doesn't make sense. The market is not behaving rationally. When supply falls, price is supposed to rise. And if prices fall with supply, then price rationing doesn't have the opportunity to even come into play. It cannot work in that case. Those of you who are familiar with the precious metals market over the last decade and a half know that the market's not behaving as it should. This is another example of that. Partially due to the USDA fudging the numbers a bit. A lot of people think that they are in cahoots with the insurance companies who base their payments to farmers on the price of commodities. And so that may be true. But more to the point, the second and more significant reason that price rationing will not work this time is that China will not stop buying beans no matter how expensive they get, because they know darn well that we are entering a grand solar minimum, that crops are failing around the world at ridiculous levels, and China's already having problems with food security. We just saw a report out of Myanmar that said insiders in China are revealing to us that, quote, there's not enough fresh food to go around at this point. That is why China is already seeking to lock into places next year's U.S. soybean crop to try and buy that up before it's even grown. Indicates, as economist at the UM says, Chinese have big buying plans again next year. They will buy whatever they can get. That is the giant sucking sound of China slurping food from around the world. They did it with protein after African swine fever decimated their hogs, and now they're doing it with grains and soy and corn. This is Arlen Suderman saying it looks like they're buying even more million metric tons than we had ever imagined possible. And so when you look at China saying to their farmers, look, just keep growing grains, plant more beans, don't even try and make money at this point. Just feed the people. And as I've said before, we saw Brazil dropping their tariffs on the imports of grains and soybeans. When you see governments saying, don't sweat the taxes, don't worry about the money, just focus on the food, that is a huge red flag. It's not just me saying this. A lot of analysts are saying, you know, this could be really volatile real fast now. Another analyst in the previous report I covered said, I'm not trying to make anyone afraid of what's coming. So it's literally, they're now saying, I'm not trying to be a fearmonger here, but this is a bad situation that's going on right now. And I'm just relaying to you their reports. It's not just China either that is frantically trying to buy and grow as much food as they can. France just advised their farmers, start growing food right now. We need to plant 40% more soy or other protein crops next year so that we don't have to import as much. In other words, in case we can't get it from anywhere else in the world because of this looming protein shortage, Russia is doing the same thing. Putin just came out yesterday and said, I'm worried about food prices. We may have to start implementing a wheat export tax so we don't give all of our wheat away to the rest of the world, and even set up quotas on grains before shipping them out to the rest of the world. Russia, of course, is, as you can read here, one of the biggest exporters of wheat and sunflower oil. And when they start saying, whoa, let's go ahead and hold on to our own food for our own people, this food nationalism that the food chain reaction game warned us about, the UN told us those pesky nationalists are going to starve out the rest of the world by trying to hold on to their food. Yeah, it's happening now because people at this level of the game, at the nation level, see that we're entering the food shortages that they have engineered and that they've been telegraphing us for some time is coming. All eyes then, after China and U.S. soybean crops were decimated this year by typhoons and the derecho, respectively, and a number of other factors, are on South America, especially Brazil. Those are the number 1, 2, and 3 producers of soybeans in the world. I mentioned several weeks ago, I covered a report that said Brazil is desperate at this point. They are in a record drought. It's historic, and farmers are just planting soybean seeds into dust and praying that they will get some rain over the next few weeks that might allow them to eke out some semblance of a soybean crop. That rain has largely not materialized, nor will it over the next couple weeks, indicating that the Brazilian soybean crop is also in a world of hurt. That means that so is basically everyone at this point, that we're now seeing 3 major crop producing areas of the world have simultaneous crop failures. In fact, just today, some more analysts are lowering Brazil's soybean crops due to this historic drought. There's no precipitation there. There's no moisture in the soil to grow crops. And so the numbers are just falling. Ag Resource already has them down at 128. What that means is that with all eyes on South America to save the day here from these other shortages that are now materializing, it's not going to be able to happen. They're not going to be able to eke out enough to somehow forego what's going on now. Remember that there was predictive programming a while back about, well, what happens if global warming means that there's large droughts and so we can't have crops, and this happens in several different parts of the world at the same time? The answer is, of course, it's a huge problem. You can sort of move things around. If one area has a big crop loss, you can, you know, use global markets and multinational trade to move the beans around to where they need to go. But when multiple countries suffer blows like is happening now, then we get to the point where we need to have this conversation about what does it mean to have a global soybean shortage, a global protein shortage. And again, this is something that was discussed and even predicted or promised, depending on how you look at it, by the George Soros-funded John Podesta-run food chain reaction game in 2015, which promised during 2020, after a global pandemic, the food supply chain would be messed up, and thanks to climate change and global warming, there would be famine around the world, just like the UN is now promising us, global famine, biblical proportions. The food chain reaction tabletop exercise, much like Event 201 or the Cyber Polygon cyber pandemic run by the World Economic Forum that saw cyber attacks on our food supply chain and on our power grids, is ended with a meat tax in the EU and with a global carbon tax. These are the agendas that they have telegraphed us will be implemented following this global food shortage. This is the solution that looms after the problem they are engineering right now in their Hegelian problem reaction solution. It wasn't just the food chain reaction game. There have been a number of references to this. To the next point, a lot of people said, that's great. We don't need soybeans. It's got tons of phytoestrogenic nonsense in it, and we can get rid of the soy boys finally. I wanted to speak a little bit to what happens now. Of course, it is true that weird, nasty food 2.0 products like Soylent, which says, well, we thought about food, so you wouldn't have to, which is a mistake to let someone else think about your food for you. Yes, these are largely made out of soy because it's such a great source of plant protein. So it's true that those will either extremely jump up in price or go off the market temporarily until they can secure other sources of soybeans. And certainly, as I mentioned in my previous report, animal feed is going to skyrocket. As the price of soybeans rises, so too will the price of the animal feed that is made with it, until the point that producers, those who have animals, will not be able to feed their animals in a price-effective way, and they'll start to cull their herds. Talking about chickens, talking about pigs, those especially, but also cows eat to a lesser extent soybean meal. A lot of fish are raised on soybean meal. A lot of your pet food is made from the protein out of soybean meal. So this has an outsized effect on all animal agriculture, which is, of course, part of the whole agenda here to end animal agriculture and make you even more dependent on their fake lab-grown meat and that kind of nonsense. But it is also true that soybeans have permeated the human food supply. Those of you who are healthy eaters or have kids that you're trying to protect from the phytoestrogens in soybeans, you know when you go to the supermarket and you walk around and you pick something up, it's almost impossible to find things that don't have some form of soy in it, whether it's vegetable oil, which is often soybean oil, or soy lecithin, or soy protein isolate. Disgusting how much stuff has soy in it. So let's talk a little bit about the effects on our food supply that a soybean shortage would have. As the price of soybeans or soybean oil or soybean meal or soy lecithin, all of these ingredients, goes up because of the shortage, it will reach a point where the producers of these end products, the consumer products, won't be able to produce their products profitably anymore. It won't make economic sense to produce them. And that's when the shelves start to go empty. And like I said, it's not just soy lattes that are affected here. When we talk about things that have vegetable oil in them, we're talking about all fried and baked goods. We're talking about many breads, that is, has that in them. You can still find, you know, artisanal sourdough breads and stuff like that. But by and large, a lot of people go to the store and buy the cheap bread that is made with vegetable oil, with soybean oil. And so you can imagine bread shortages as a result of a lack of soybean oil. Almost all salad dressings are made with soybean oil. When you buy tuna fish or anchovies and they come in oil, those will cease to be available as soybean oil goes so high in price that producers just say, okay, forget that. Let's just ship them in water from now on. A lot of breakfast bars and cereal bars have soybean oil in them or soy protein isolate. The protein isolate is also, of course, what makes up a lot of those protein bars or the protein powders. All of these products will cease to be economically viable to produce in lieu of a shortage of soybeans. Now, a lot of people might suggest at this point, if that happens, we'll just switch to olive oil. We'll just switch to something else. Unfortunately, we have already seen this year, in the early days of the pandemic, just how brittle and inflexible our food supply chain is. When schools and restaurants closed down, many dairy farmers were unable to pivot to a different distribution channel quickly enough, and we saw, as a result, them dumping by the truckload milk down the drain. It was very sad, meant a lot of people lost a lot of money, and some dairies went out of business as a function of this. More to this point now, it underscores that our food supply chain is very bespoke. It's very finely tuned to the patterns of consumption that we've been running on. And so if those change suddenly, if suddenly soybean oil spikes through the roof, you can't just go buy some other oil and shove it in the machine instead. Hopefully we can make some of that happen, but I just don't, at this point, believe that rapid substitution into some other ingredients across the vectors we're talking about here is possible. Soy lecithin is also in, it's not just candies and chocolates, bars, it's also in breakfast cereals and a lot of breakfast products, like instant pancakes, this kind of stuff. It is true, of course, that your soy lattes will either spike up through the roof in price or go off the market for a time. It's kind of ironic, after all of that making fun of soybeans, the soybean, the humble soybean that will spell such a huge problem for our food supply internationally. It also bears to be mentioned that if all of these people who are eating soy on a daily basis and imbibing all of these artificial estrogens, the plant-based estrogens, suddenly are cut off from those hormones, there could be a mass menopause of sorts, and that would send Antifa even further into their soy boy rages. So what's left at this point? Because we've just described a good swath of the shelf space at the grocery store. And of course, we're not even going to talk today about the industrial uses of soybeans, the fact that biodiesel is made up of soybean oil, the fact that plastics and solvents and paints and cleaners all involve a lot of soybeans products. As far as groceries that are still going to be left on the shelf, at least we still have our canned goods, right? We still have frozen goods and pastas and stuff like that. Except these are actually the exact list of things that are now being broadcast will not be available due to the second wave of COVID-19. The people who are engineering this food shortage have covered their bases. Now we start to see why they started assembling pandemic pallets earlier in the year, why food banks in Seattle and in Chicago and Detroit were stacking food to the rafters in anticipation of these food shortages that they knew were coming and that we now see on the horizon as this keystone of soybeans is pulled and the avalanche of food shortages begins. We've been expecting this, but it's surreal and harrowing to see it coming. Okay, well, at least we still have frozen foods, right? Well, actually, that's on the supply shortage concern list as well. And not only that, the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab have covered that base too when they announced just a month ago that the next super spreader is in fact frozen food packaging. Yes, so we can see the scripting has already been laid there. The foundation is set to pull those off the market. And of course, if they can't do it in the name of super spreader of COVID-19, then they've already got the predictive programming and the tabletop exercises, like I mentioned, Cyber Polygon, the cyber pandemic, to launch a cyber attack on third-party logistics providers and cold storage providers like Americold, which, as I covered in my previous report, suffered a cyber attack just 2 weeks ago that meant deliveries of all frozen goods stopped in their tracks for a period of days while they literally installed their systems from backup onto new computers. They just gave up on the computers, get new ones, reinstall the software, and start deliveries after a period of days. No trucks were able to get deliveries. This is a really critical, central point of failure in our food supply chain. And we heard from the Americold CEO that 94% of the frozen goods on the shelves in your grocery store go through third-party logistics like Americold and some of those other distributors. So now we really start to appreciate that these people who want to take over the food supply, the Rockefeller Reset the Table, the EU Farm to Fork, the private-public partnerships like Barilla and Nestle with their Reset the Table from Farm to Fork. I mean, they all use the same language because they're all executing on the same agenda, that they have covered their bases here in creating a perfect storm. The soybean shortage, which has massive ramifications, and then shortages of canned and frozen goods to complement that and make darn sure that every last person learns real good why we must totally rewrite the food system, fundamentally transform, in their words, why we have to eat bugs. Because you remember, after COVID-19, when we all had to go hungry for a few days and we were living on handouts from the food banks for a while the grocery stores were empty? Yeah, this is the problem that they have promised us and that they are now delivering on so that they can shove down our throat, quite literally, the solutions that they desire and take total control over our food supply and total control over you. And just as we saw the meat plants shutting down in the early days of the pandemic, that's started to happen again now here in California. Foster Farms just shut down again after 193 workers tested positive. So they shut down the plant and they said, we're going to start testing all of our workers going forward, which means there will be more false positives. You see that this is just one integrated agenda to deliver on their promises here. And the mink trend continues. And mink have tested positive at mink farms in Canada and now in the US as well. But now also the predictive programming is being put out. Look at this. Animal agriculture or mink could spark another pandemic. This is just more of that language that tells you animals are dirty and filthy and they're relics of the past and we need to get rid of them because it's going to cause more COVID mutations and that'll keep our vaccines from working. And you don't want that, do you now? Because then you won't be able to leave your house ever and you'll lose even more of your jobs. It's one big blackmail that's being executed against us.
Christian had a lot more to say than just about soybeans. We're going to hear from him again under the category of government threat, which we're going into right now. Yes, I have some stuff under the liberal psychosis, but not much. This is towards the end of the year, and the media is really doing everything they can to hide everything that they can hide. The problem that I have seen, and this is what I've been hearing, and everybody else has been hearing the same thing, is how the economy is so bad that the government has to give us some kissy bear huggy poo money so that we won't riot and we won't have a revolution. So the government has to create some money out of thin air and give it to us all so that we're happy. And it's placebo is what it is. Here, have a sucker. Suck on this for a while, and we'll get back to you. Well, the problem is that we're slitting our own throats. The government comes to people and says, hi, I'm with the government. I'm here to slit your throat. Give me your knife, please. And people will just acquiesce and they'll hand them the knife and then stick their necks out too. So what happens is these people in the United States are told by a communist governor, close your doors, close your business. People are dying because of this disease. Well, you know what? Everybody's using a mask now and social distancing and all that crap, and they're still dying. Okay, the problem is that you're closing your doors because you choose to. You know, this is the thing that I have told people for decades, is that everything happens, but your problem is you make the choice to allow it to affect you. Robert Browning, and I've got to find this poem, but basically what he says is that once you've died and you're standing naked in front of St. Peter and the pearly gates, you still have one thing left, and nobody can take that from you. It's called your choice. So people are choosing to close their businesses. I have a comedian that I play now and then, and he really has an excellent grasp. I mean, he's really good at it. He finds a concept, and he has a real good grasp of it, and then he talks about it, and it gets driven home to many people.
Small businesses need to stay closed. Good evening, little people. Here's what we want you to believe today. And pay close attention. We'll be emotionally manipulating you with fear to get you to believe what doesn't make any logical sense to you. COVID cases are spiking. Leading the charge against humanity is the most trusted man in the country, Communist Newsom, who's announced he'll be ordering all California businesses to close for another 3 weeks, followed by a period of forever. The only way to fight a virus that carries a 99.98% survival rate is with poverty that we're getting you to create for yourself. And if you don't think that makes sense, then remember to be afraid so you'll comply out of your emotional reactivity. This just in, science has proven that poverty is immune boosting. According to scientific studies that haven't happened, small businesses are cesspools for death and disease, as they always have been. Meanwhile, large national chains like Costco, Target, Home Depot, and Amazon are tasked with the burden of receiving what's left of your money, if you even have any left. To explain how keeping small businesses shut down forever is in your best interest, please pay close attention to the following sequence of events that you're in the middle of right now. You keep your business closed, which means you go into poverty. You and everyone else is then dependent on the government for aid. Then everyone votes for increased government control so they can get financial aid and handouts from the government, while having to stay strictly compliant with the government mandates in order to qualify for the handouts. I wonder if the bread lines will be gluten-free. Now, if this sounds like you're ushering in and then living in a socialist communist state, it's because you will be. But we're calling it something different, so you don't realize it yet. We're calling it COVID relief. But it's really just relief from the economic destruction that we've told you to do to yourself. Now, actions speak louder than words, and our loudly spoken words are, we're not doing this, yet our actions show that we are. But because you're watching me right now to have me tell you what to think, that means you're not thinking for yourself and therefore are dumb enough to fall for this. So we'll carry on. COVID relief. Now those are words that make you feel like the elite are protecting you, so you'll trust them, right? Close your business to protect yourself and society. It's the right thing to do. Destroying your livelihood and staying committed to going deep enough into poverty for long enough so we'll eventually give you a little bit of money is a financial plan you can trust. However, numerous California county sheriffs have come forward saying they won't enforce any more of Communist Newsom's ridiculous rules because they are both destructive and unconstitutional. In his very non-dictator-like ways, Newsom responded by warning these counties that if they don't enforce his rules, they could lose COVID relief funds. So in other words, shut your businesses down so you'll need our financial aid. That's like saying, if you want to be happy, then get depressed so we can give you antidepressants to make you happy. And I think we all know that's the only way to be happy. These sheriffs who serve and protect the public appear to be brave enough to protect the public from corrupt people in positions of power who are saying they're protecting the public. And unfortunately, that's just not scientific. And be sure to believe my super solid use of the term scientific. The business owner who owns Pineapple Hill Saloon had her business shut down. Right next door to her outdoor dining setup, Hollywood elites were allowed to place their outdoor dining setup. The business owner, who was shamefully stricken with tears, obviously doesn't understand that the Hollywood elite are elite, and that she is not. Hollywood is an essential business now tasked with ushering in acceptance of socialism through entertainment. Similar to sheriffs, numerous business owners are standing up in the face of tyranny as they disobey orders to open their businesses, like this man who owns Coffee in Escondido, California.
Coffee here in Escondido will not be closing down.
As you can clearly see, this man is a domestic terrorist out to kill people by serving his community and earning a living for his family. Insert Corona is dangerous rhetoric here that nobody believes anymore. This just in! We at the mainstream media will not report on brave people defying draconian orders to open their businesses. We don't want you to see hugely growing numbers of people choosing bravery and common sense over fear, because we don't want you to be inspired to do the same. We won't show it to you. Instead, be afraid so you stay weak and compliant by considering this. COVID will kill you 100% of the time. Except for 99.98% of the time. This news update proves small businesses need to stay closed forever. You are a little person who would be nothing without us. Luckily, we'll continue telling you what to think because we're protecting you.
Now remember where we are. We're under government threat here, this category. There's been some massive news come out this week about the Democrats, that they are in cahoots with Communist China, all of them. That's what it looks like. There was a major, major leak that was captured. It was it's a file that shows all of the Communist Party members, and not just in Shanghai and China. I'm talking about in the United States and Australia and the UK and other places. And apparently there's a lot of, in fact, any Americans that are on there, they're all Democrats. Democrat Swalwell, who was actually in bed with a Chinese spy, and Pelosi put him on the Intelligence Committee in the House. Because of so much happening in the past 2 weeks to tie Democrats with communist China. The Pentagon has stopped all intelligence briefings with Biden's transition team, shall we say. They're not giving him any intelligence whatsoever because they know that he's part of the Chinese problem. We've been hacked. The United States, and this is the stupid thing, was hacked about 9 months ago. Not a lightweight hack. This is a major cyber attack on all U.S. agencies. The Nuclear Weapons Agency has been hacked. The NSA has been hacked. The FBI has been hacked. Every military agency, in fact, every agency of the federal government has been hacked. And it's not as bad as, oh, look, there's a hack. No, it's been going on. In fact, this is called an ongoing hack, meaning the enemy is still in there. And they're tracing this back to either the Russian government or operatives working for the Russian government. And matter of fact, this is so bad that the Pentagon shut down a very secret communication ability. Most people have never heard of this. It's the SIPR, S-I-P-R. There are four levels to this, and this is like a private internet for only government agencies, and this is the Secret Internet Protocol Router Network. It handles classified information. They shut it down. Shut it down. They're not looking for a solution because they have no idea how to fix it, so they're shutting all of this down. You've been noticing it. There's been whole bunches of internet shutting down all throughout the United States. Google, Gmail, YouTube, they all went down. And then they're coming back up. They're trying to figure out what's going on and how they can fix it. Then you have some information that come out of Austin that the SolarWinds, it's a software company, the headquarters was raided. Turns out that SolarWinds has a program. It had many programs. And unfortunately, our government uses them. SolarWinds was, and they're trying to convince everybody that they were hacked months ago and a Trojan was put into their programming. So whenever somebody who was using the SolarWinds software did an update, they were instantly hacked by SolarWinds. SolarWinds, so they were raided, all their computers captured, and it turns out that Dominion voting system uses SolarWinds platform. Every one of the machines, every single one of the machines that Dominion uses has been compromised. Every single one a foreign entity has had access to, could control. Now, almost nobody knows this, but Christian from the Ice Age Farmer, he's actually an IT guy. He's extremely intelligent, and he has some data on the cyber pandemic. Remember, he talked about that. He said that they are threatening us already, that there's going to be a new pandemic, and it's a cyber pandemic. And it started.
The cyber pandemic has begun. In a previous report, I mentioned that the World Economic Forum was warning about a next crisis, one that would be more impactful than the COVID-19 crisis. And of course, Klaus Schwab himself detailed,
"We all know, but still pay insufficient attention to the frightening scenario of a comprehensive cyber attack, which would bring to a complete halt to the power supply, transportation, hospital services, our society as a whole. The COVID-19 crisis would be seen in this respect as a small disturbance in comparison to a major cyber attack."
And what has happened in the days since the World Economic Forum's announcement about a cyber pandemic looming, a crisis greater than COVID, is that the narrative has had a meteoric rise to a constant media barrage, the FBI tweeting out about cybersecurity and even tagging the World Economic Forum like, hey, yeah, we're in on this too. Americold, the world's largest cold storage and third-party logistics provider, had their operations grind to a halt when they suffered a cyber attack, actually the day after my report on this cyber pandemic. We've already seen attackers sort of testing the waters. In fact, the U.S. Treasury yesterday admitted that they suffered a cyber attack. Let's step back and really look at the way that this narrative is being rolled out. There are offensive tools, basically weapons of mass cyber destruction, that have been stolen from a firm called FireEye, and that now can be used by these rogue actors. Invariably, it's called a state actor, to conduct attacks. And now, overnight, we have news that a company called SolarWinds was hijacked. Their software was hijacked and shipped out Trojan horses to hundreds of thousands of their customers. But the point is that we now have weapons of mass destruction that have been stolen, cyber destruction, and a backdoor which has been sent out into the world. So this sets the stage for basically anything to happen in the coming days. First, let's talk about FireEye. FireEye is a cybersecurity company. Now, that means that they offer consulting services to large companies. This is how you can secure your systems. In order for them to know how to do that, they have to know how hackers attack systems, right? You hear a lot about InfoSec world, the information security world, about black hats and white hats. The reality is that everyone's kind of a gray hat because you can't defend against attacks unless you know how to do these attacks, and generally vice versa. When practice meets theory here, the people in FireEye have what they call an offensive capabilities division that writes hacking tools so that they can go provide consulting services about how to protect from these vulnerabilities that they've discovered. It is their offensive division that was hacked at FireEye. So as they say, again, it's always a state actor we see here. We were hit by a nation state with top tier offensive capabilities. They are different from the tens of thousands of incidents we've ever seen before. This is unprecedented level. This attack that came in and stole our weapons of mass cyber destruction. They have world class capabilities. They used a novel combination of techniques. We've never seen it before, no one ever has. And this is what we do. This is all we do, is look and investigate cyber attacks. So when we see something completely new, this is interesting to us, to the world, in fact. Someone has been waiting for this day, waiting to launch this cyber pandemic, and it's been launched now. So whoever this is, this person that holds all the cards, that seems to know how everything worked with unprecedented novel tools, hacks into a cybersecurity consultant, FireEye, steals their weapons of mass cyber destruction. Now this superpower hacker has an incredible array of fresh tools at their disposal. So offensively, they have armed up. Now, what about the defenses? What's going on that side? Again, the SolarWinds hack that was just talked about yesterday for the first time indicates that months ago in March, a state actor hacked into SolarWinds, implanted within their software, which is an IT monitoring software suite. They just write software that everyone installs to keep an eye on their own systems. They embedded a Trojan horse within SolarWinds monitoring systems that then, you know, like automatic updates, it got shipped out to all their customers, and suddenly hundreds of thousands of SolarWind customers have compromised systems because they've all installed this compromised version of the monitoring software, thinking that they were just getting a routine update. So now we see the attacker is armed with freshly stolen weapons of mass cyber destruction from FireEye, and the gates are down at hundreds of thousands of systems around the world by virtue of this Trojan horse that's been shipped out from SolarWind. They're offensively armed and the shields are down. Now you start to get a sense of the environment that exists, that is one that is completely permissive of exactly the cyber pandemic Klaus Schwab was out there flapping his gums about.
But the cyber threats of tomorrow won't just make our information unsafe. They could make our physical world unsafe, too. The cyber threats of tomorrow could disable the cars that we drive, the airplanes that we fly. They could turn off power or water to cities across the country for days or weeks or longer. They could incapacitate our military or even turn our own weapons against us. The cyber threats of tomorrow could affect anything that requires a networked computer to operate. And increasingly, that means everything.
The customers that SolarWind services, these 300,000 customers that they're talking about, but take a look at who these customers that suddenly, today, find out they have compromised systems are. The 300,000 customers span sectors including military, governments, businesses, and educations. More than 425 of the Fortune 500 companies use SolarWinds monitoring software, which had a Trojan horse all of a sudden in it. So the world's biggest companies have vulnerable systems as of today, as of right now, including the Pentagon, the State Department, NASA, NOAA, the NSA itself, the Postal Service, the DOJ, the Department of Justice, and the President of the United States. In addition, all five U.S. accounting firms and hundreds of universities and colleges around the world. Here's a little bit further look at these customers of SolarWind who are today finding out that their systems have been compromised and are vulnerable right now. Ameritrade, AT&T, we see telecom groups, we see investment firms and banks, ING Direct, McDonald's, we definitely see the food companies and supply chains, as well as lots of government systems. Basically, you can imagine that any one of these companies, all of Siemens, right? All of which have huge operations comprising systems that do any number of functions, including run nuclear power plants, keep the grid, the power grid up and running, supply logistics and equipment to hospitals. All of the things Klaus Schwab teased us about are now vulnerable because one of these companies can just turn a switch off and they have carte blanche to just blame, oh, it was a cyber attack. That's why the grid went down. That's why you can't access your bank account balance today. That's why the hospitals won't be getting, what, you know, name it. Whatever, basically, they want to do over the coming weeks, to turn off municipal water supplies, they can do, and they have this excuse to justify it. And we have seen, as I said, we've seen them testing the waters thus far at Americold, which would shut down grocery stores, frozen food and grocery stores, virtually overnight. Those shelves would run empty. We've certainly seen them yesterday hack into the Department of the Treasury. Again, just sort of testing the waters to see where they can get in. But the combination of this freshly obtained chest of cyber weapons of mass destruction and all of these companies, nearly the entire Fortune 500, suddenly having vulnerable systems is a potent one. In fact, it's so potent that the U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency released yesterday, it's the first time they've invoked their emergency directives, saying that, hey, the fact that SolarWind's Orion monitoring product was compromised and was shipped out to all of these companies poses an unacceptable risk to the security of our federal networks. You now need to go immediately assess your exposure to this compromise and secure your networks against exploitation. In other words, if you had downloaded this Trojan horse in the SolarWinds monitoring software, you need to go right now and figure out if you've got a Trojan horse and patch it up, because this is an unacceptable situation. So I wanted to elucidate on these news reports a little bit, because while they tell you that FireEye was hacked and that SolarWind has a problem, they don't make it clear that weapons of mass destruction were stolen by cyber terrorists with unprecedented state-level abilities and everyone's back door is wide freaking open right now. The stage is set for anything you can imagine in the coming weeks. Now, who would stand to benefit from this kind of stuff going on? Look no further than the World Economic Forum's Cyber Polygon Tabletop Exercise, the Event 201 of this cyber pandemic. Of course, it was sponsored by, beyond the World Economic Forum itself, by IBM and a bunch of other partners. The globalists themselves, the UN, the World Economic Forum, all stand to benefit from something like this because it is yet another of these global problems requiring global solutions. Oh, global warming, pandemics, cyber pandemics, and you'll hear that phrase, no one government or organization can save us. We need global governance. We need a super state with immense powers and surveillance to save us. And that's the appeal. That's the most basic idea of who benefits from a cyber pandemic. That's why Klaus Schwab is up there yelling about it. Beyond that, though, when you see, especially when you see attacks on Americold or other parts of the supply chain, IBM is the one who is rolling out right now their blockchain-based supply chain, which we've heard time and time again. I've talked about the Beast Systems architecture being comprising blockchain, AI, and awareness everywhere, 5G connectivity. IBM is absolutely in a position where a cyber pandemic like this that brings down normal computer systems would set the stage for them to say, well, we've got the solution. It's this distributed blockchain-based supply chain. It's more resilient to attacks. We just happen to be the people that created it. And yes, we're also the people that sponsored the cyber polygon. So globalists and globalism agenda, IBM and other blockchain-based solutions for these kinds of problems. And then also just the basic idea that security on the internet should be improved if you adopt the UN's digital biometric ID. Sorry, guys. We're going to have to track you on the internet now, thanks to those state-level hackers with unprecedented abilities. Yes, because of that, we're going to need to scan your retina or your fingerprints or whatever from now on, just so you can get online. All of these things are standing to benefit from the cyber pandemic rollout. That's why they should be the first suspects when we see this agenda rolling forward at a breakneck speed.
Now, because of the mainstream media and all the communists in charge of all the media in the United States limits what we can see and find out, I find a lot of information coming out of Australia. Other nations aren't as closed as ours are. Here's a report from Sky News in Australia.
This is the plan that I have repeatedly warned about, to take the tools of oppression used to tackle the coronavirus and use them all, lockdowns, forced business closures, exclusion zones, isolation. We heard Angela Marsden earlier, businesses shut down, isolation at home, all of that, including destroying private property rights and private income in order to tackle the climate crisis.
Now is a historical moment, a time not only to fight severe virus, but to shape the system.
We have a unique but rapidly shrinking window of opportunity to learn lessons and reset ourselves on a more sustainable path. It is an opportunity we have never had before and may never have again. So we must use all the levers we have at our disposal, knowing that each and every one of us has a vital role to play.
The Great Reset is a welcome recognition that this human tragedy must be a wake-up call. It is imperative that we reimagine, rebuild, redesign, reinvigorate, and rebalance our world. Rebalancing investment, harnessing science and technology, and advancing the transition to net zero emissions, all elements of the Great Reset, are fundamental to building the future we need.
And that last one was the clown Guterres, who was at the Climate Ambition Summit, telling us the world is going to cook by 3.5 degrees or something by the end of the century. Yeah, right. This Great Reset is as serious and as dangerous a threat to our prosperity, to your prosperity and your freedom, as we have faced in decades. With these powerful bodies, including the World Economic Forum, the United Nations, the International Monetary Fund, and even Prince Charles boasting, yes, boasting, within a few short years, yes, their words, you will own nothing and you will be happy. This is not me saying this, this is them. They are even running ads for the Great Reset.
Now, I'm not playing the ad because it's just a lot of weird lovey-dovey music with pictures of stupid-looking people, but on the screen, this is what it says. You will own nothing, and you'll be happy. Whatever you want, you'll rent, and it'll be delivered by drones. The U.S. won't be the leading superpower. A handful of countries will dominate.
Handful of countries will dominate. I wonder which ones they might be. A terrifying coalition of big business, big tech, and left-wing totalitarians are so confident and so brazen. I mean, they just stole the US election, so I guess they're feeling pretty chuffed with themselves, that they are now promising you will own nothing and you will be happy. What they should have added is, and we, the very rich, will own everything and be even happier. Of course they will. The great tragedy here is that Prince Charles is involved in this fascist, corporatist global push and is thereby putting our entire constitutional monarchy at risk. Queen Elizabeth, please give the bloke the punt. It is critical, and I urge you to write to your MPs over the holidays to insist that no Australian public servant or member of parliament, no individual on the Australian public purse attends the World Economic Forum in Lucerne in May, which is where this obscenity is scheduled to begin. Please write to your MPs and tell them. And you think I'm just imagining this stuff? Crazy old Rowan with his conspiracy theories? Think again. This garbage is already deeply embedded into our state and federal governments. I've spoken before about the insidious phrase build back better, which sounds like common sense, but is in fact just one of several slogans for the Great Reset. Another being the Orwellian phrase, the fourth industrial revolution. Here's old Klaus again, minus the white cat on his knee, telling us all about the fourth industrial revolution.
The fourth industrial revolution will impact our lives completely. It will not only change how we communicate, how we produce, how we consume, it will change actually us, our own identity, and of course gives life to such policies and developments like smart traffic, smart government, smart cities. What we will see is that everything will be integrated into a ecosystem driven by big data and driven particularly by close cooperation also of governments with business, civil society. And this revolution will come at a breathtaking speed. It will be like a tsunami.
It gets worse. The World Economic Forum are now blatantly saying capitalism needs a dose of Marxism. It's not like they're hiding their sinister intentions. I was horrified when an outsider fan last week sent me this document from the Australian government. Quote, preparing for the future, Industry 4.0 test labs in Australia, a strategic initiative of the Prime Minister's Industry 4.0 Task Force. Section 1, significance of the fourth industrial revolution. May I respectfully remind the Prime Minister there is nothing in the Great Reset that is in Australia's national interest. Australians did not vote for a dose of Marxism in our capitalism. If the Prime Minister is true to his words and only listens and answers to the quiet Australians who elected him, then he can comfortably look forward to re-election. But if he is seduced by the siren voices of the virtue signalers, of the international forums, of the global warming alarmists and their doomsday predictions, of the greedy renewable investors within his own party, who fraudulently claim that they are saving the planet when all they are doing is enriching themselves at the expense of the poorest among us. Indeed, if he puts the interests of the elites over the basic everyday interests of the average Aussie, it will not end well.
Now we're under the category of Trump. This week we discovered, no, we didn't discover it, it was just very apparent that Bill Barr, the attorney general that Trump appointed, is nothing more than a swamp creature. He's a traitor. We know this. He's been fired. SCOTUS, the Supreme Court, refused to hear the case that was brought forward. They just said, no, there's no standing, and they threw it out. Sydney brought forward her own case against the election fraud and all of this Democrat crap. And SCOTUS, the Supreme Court of the United States said, yeah, we'll hear it sometime middle January. Biden wants to have, he's telling everybody what his court's going to be, what his cabinet is going to be. He's got transvestites. Oh, head of education is a transvestite. That's a man that pretends he's a woman. And then he has a sexual pervert that he's going to be putting in for transportation secretary. He has a gentleman that works for him that is a stooge for communist China. He's going to put him in as Secretary of State. Most people don't even understand this. And this is why everyone was pissed off who understands the Constitution and how this works when the media started saying, Biden won, he's going to be the president. Biden's the president. Biden's the president-elect. Biden's this, Biden's that. One American News has some information about that.
Well, you won't hear it said anywhere else, but until the joint sessions of Congress and the Senate meet on January 6th, Joe Biden is not the president-elect. One America's Pearson Sharp has more on President Trump could still be declared the winner.
No matter what the mainstream media tells you, Joe Biden is officially not the president-elect. No matter what the media says, Joe Biden or Donald Trump or anyone else will not be president-elect until the electoral votes are counted by the joint session of Congress on January 6th. Until that time, and considering the massive scale of voting fraud being reported, it is irresponsible for any journalist or news organization to declare that Joe Biden is the undisputed winner. Constitutional lawyer Bruce Fine spoke with One America News, and he said it's quite possible for the joint session of the House and the Senate to reject sufficient electoral votes for Biden. Monday, certification of the ballots means nothing, especially since Republicans in key battleground states also submitted their votes certifying President Trump as the winner. With two sets of electors, state legislators in Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Wisconsin, Wisconsin, New Mexico, Nevada, and Arizona, the majority of which are controlled by Republicans, will have to choose which electors to send to Washington, D.C. on January 6th. It's also worth mentioning that last week, a committee met and was tasked with announcing who the official president-elect is. They couldn't do it. Called the Joint Congressional Committee on Inaugural Ceremonies, their first order of business is always to pass a resolution declaring who is the president-elect. But this time, when they put it to a vote who was president-elect, they deadlocked. 3 Democrats to 3 Republicans. This has never happened before. It's the first time in the committee's history that they haven't declared a winner. Furthermore, come January 6th, if one House member and one senator object to the certification, which could be based on the voting fraud or any other reason, then Congress must decide the winner. If they can't come to an agreement, then they must fall back on the 12th Amendment for a contingent election. The vote would then be per senator, with Vice President Mike Pence, as the president of the Senate, being the deciding vote if necessary. The House will also need to vote with only one vote per state, meaning the Republicans will have 30 votes while the Democrats will only have 20. This is a very real and very possible scenario that we could see unfold this January. And it's not like this hasn't happened before. Democrats scream and shout about how President Trump is not conceding and that's a threat to our democracy. But back in 2016, Democrats were doing the same exact thing. Democrats in the House objected to the electoral votes for Donald Trump in a handful of critical battleground states, including Alabama, Georgia, Florida, Michigan, Texas, Mississippi, and both North and South Carolina, all with the goal of overturning the election. They did it again back in 2005, with Senator Barbara Boxer trying to strike down the electoral votes in Ohio to keep George Bush from winning. So, Democrats today have no ground to stand on and accuse anyone of violating the Constitution for doing the same thing they did in the very last election, something that is provided for and made explicit in the Constitution. For all these reasons and more, One America News will officially not be calling Joe Biden the president-elect. And aside from the Epoch Times, which isn't calling the election yet either, you won't hear that anywhere else. We are the only broadcast news network out there with the integrity to report that this election isn't over. Fox News caved, to no one's surprise, but so did all the other so-called conservative media organizations, including Breitbart and even Newsmax. They've all called the race for Biden, but One America News won't. Until all the mountains of fraud are resolved, this race isn't over, and there must be no doubt that we have a president who won honestly and not by stealing the voices of over 75 million Americans. For One America News, I'm Pearson Sharp.
One America News is the only true news station that I can find anywhere. Newsmax has already jumped into the bandwagon of, oh, let's just call Biden the president now and ignore everything that's happening with anyone else. So One America News is it, as far as I can tell. The director of national intelligence has come out and said, yes, we have had foreign actors involved in overturning and affecting the current election. This opens up the quite effective possibility of Trump pulling out the Insurrection Act, because that's what it does. It protects the United States against this kind of thing. All the machines, now by the way, we know who Dominion is. Dominion's a Venezuelan company that is now owned by the communist Chinese. So we've covered the fact that all Dominion machines have been compromised and are controlled outside of the United States. So in Venezuela, Maduro had another election, and magically he won in a landslide. Now, Maduro and the socialists in charge of Venezuela, they know what's going on in the United States. They know that we're on to them, and we're auditing these Dominion machines, and we're finding them. So he decided that, you know what, we might want to get rid of all the machines and all the proof here we have in Venezuela. So out of nowhere, the main warehouse near Caracas was destroyed. Over 50,000 of the Dominion voting machines that were being used in Venezuela kind of went up in flames. And almost 600 of the computers that were controlling the election system machines, they burned down as well. Isn't that smart? You know, the Democrats should have thought of that here. I just got an email. from MoveOn.org. And you know I'm a member of MoveOn.org. I'm a member of every communist organization in the United States because I want to know what these psychotic creatures are doing. We've been brainwashed so bad. And there's a certain class of people that are easy to brainwash. And unfortunately, they all call themselves Democrats. So I got this email. And you know the saying, if you tell a lie enough times, people are going to start believing it. Dear MoveOn member, over the past 4 years, Americans watched as Donald Trump used fear and racism to divide our country and expand the inhumane immigration detention system, separate migrant children from their parents, and deprive refugees seeking asylum of their freedoms. In 2020, though, our multiracial, multiethnic, multigenerational majority chose a new America. As we recover from the cruelty of the Trump administration and the health and economic crisis of COVID-19, it's critical we build a nation where home is truly here and safe for all. In the first 100 days, we urge the new administration to undo the harmful policies Donald Trump put in place that have inflicted cruelty and pain on immigrant communities, to impose a moratorium on deportations, new arrests, and detention, and to work with Congress on legislation that creates a roadmap to citizenship. All the different times that the Democrats were in charge of all the Congress, the Senate, and the presidency, they refused to do anything on immigration. But MoveOn.org is telling everybody that we need to undo the cruelty of the Trump administration, create a roadmap to citizenship, build a new immigration system that is fair, humane, and functional. In other words, get rid of the Department of Homeland Security, Customs and Border Patrol, and ICE. And this is what they're doing. And the Democrats believe this crap. This is what's been going on. They've been brainwashed with this kind of crap. The media wants you to believe everything they say to you. And too many people. We've had Republicans walk in here and say things like, they're wearing a mask, and we tell everyone that comes in, you don't need to wear a mask in here. We have an ionizer running, and it kills all bacteria and viruses in the air. We had this guy say, no, they tell me that I have to have this on or I could die. And he was serious. What do you do to people like that? There's not going to be an epiphany where these fools wake up and go, oh, my God, I've been an idiot. Now, my dad did. At the age of 70, he comes to me, and he said, he looks at me and goes, I don't know what the hell's been wrong with me my whole life. I go, what's wrong, Dad? He goes, I've been an idiot. I said, all fathers are idiots. What are you talking about? And he said, I've been a Democrat my whole damn life. I said, okay. He goes, I've been an idiot. So he, at the age of 70, he became a Republican. And he did some astounding things at that point. People just, they believe what they're told. Maybe it's because it's easier not to rock the boat. Maybe it's because if they do what they're told, then there's no confrontation that could occur. And I'm telling you, that is not the American way. The media tells you what you should believe. And people believe that. I don't know. I something clicked in my mind decades ago that just all of a sudden I realized they're lying to me. But the media is being used, all of it, the print media, the magazines, the internet media, the newspapers, the TV, they're lying to you, and they're using basic psychological tools to program you to violate your own knowledge and beliefs. Here's a comedic example.
The world needs more bravery.
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 Bravery is refusing to get together with my friends and family that I love.
Bravery is living in constant fear.
Bravery is going into a fight or flight response when someone sneezes.
I am brave.
I am brave.
I am brave.
I'm brave enough to live in never-ending terror of a virus.
I'm brave enough to know that politicians know what's best for me.
I'm brave enough to follow orders.
I'm brave enough to not reopen my business.
I'm brave enough to protect my family from income.
Instead of working, I'm brave enough to protect my family by letting them starve.
I'm brave enough to know that self-induced poverty is in everyone's best interest.
I'm brave enough to do as I'm told without questioning it.
I'm brave enough to get my personal worldview from the media.
I'm brave enough to dismiss all ideas that the fact checkers say are false.
I'm brave enough to live in constant fear about what could happen to me.
I'm brave enough to feel ashamed if I'm not wearing a mask in public.
I'm brave enough to scream at people who are not as scared as I am.
I'm brave enough to want to be tracked so I can be safe.
I'm brave enough to know that I'm too weak to survive unless I get a mandatory injection.
I'm brave enough to teach my kids to boldly fear human connection.
I'm brave enough to keep my child from going to a school that doesn't require children to cover their faces all day.
I'm brave enough to show my kids how to be obedient to all authority figures.
I'm brave enough to know I'm helpless without someone telling me what I'm allowed to do.
I'm brave enough to know that what they tell me to think is what I think.
I'm brave enough to resist the temptation to think for myself.
I'm brave enough to obey for everyone's safety.
I'm brave enough to know that I need the government to protect me at all times.
I'm brave enough to know that when my gut tells me I'm being fooled, I'm wrong.
I'm brave enough to know that the depths of despair, poverty, and starvation are just the price we pay for being brave.
Be brave.
Be brave.
Be brave.
Together, we can reimagine a braver tomorrow.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome you to my store, Survival Enterprises. And what I'm doing for this segment is I got a headset on. I got a wireless headset. I'm going to walk around my store, and I'm going to talk to you about the products that we sell. I want to preface this with the fact that, you know, about a year ago, we lost the ability to take credit cards. There was a fraudulent report that we were laundering money or something. We're not sure because nobody will tell us anything. But now we can't take credit cards. But we can take checks. We can take checks over the phone. We're authorized to do that. That's an easy thing to have done by our bank. Unfortunately, there's altogether too many of you who are either too lazy to do that or you don't want to do that. You know, that's fine. But depending on how much money we get depends on whether or not my store can stay in business. And if my store can't stay in business, well, I can't afford to do the radio show. So what I'm going to do is walk around, explain all of the different products, talk about some of the things that we have in the store, because we don't just have the normal stuff like we have at SE1.us, survivalenterprises.com. We've got a lot of oddball stuff in the store here in Hayden, Idaho. And I really want you to understand, we're not upset about this. It's just a simple fact of life. If we don't make money, well, then we have to find something else to do. So we close the business, which has been in business for over 35 years. And yes, there's a lot of people out there that have been buying from us. There's a lot of you who do use checks or who send us money, cash, send us money orders, checks, things like that. That's fine. What we have found, being on the internet since the early 90s, people are generally lazy. If they can't go to a website and go click, click, click and buy something, they'll go somewhere else. That's your choice. That's your choice. We can't tell you what to do, but we can explain the law of cause and effect and how economy works. No money equals, well, we must be doing something wrong, so we'll have to change it. Anyway, so welcome to my store. So now I'm walking out into the store, and there's nobody here but us chickens and my cat. Felix is running around here somewhere. So let me tell you about this stuff. Just give you an idea of some of the products that we carry. Of course, we carry colloidal minerals. Yeah, colloidal minerals is a earthbound source of minerals that has been around for millions of years. In the Utah area, millions of years ago, plant life there was astounding. It was 100 feet tall. And then volcanic action started, and the whole area in Utah was covered with ash. Not lava, ash, which compressed all of the plant life down to basically what it looks like now is a dried out sponge. And there's a long story on how this was discovered, that it saved all of the nutrients from the original plants. See, there's a difference between organic and inorganic minerals. Inorganic minerals would be basically rocks and dirt. Organic minerals are what you get from plant life. It's done via photosynthesis. The plants will pull inorganic minerals up out of the dirt and turn it into organic minerals. And that's what they do. That's what the colloidal minerals are. They take the, it's a mine, and they go dig deep down into the earth, and they pull up this humus or dirt or I don't know, whatever you want to call it. And then they basically extract all the organic minerals from it that have been waiting for millions of years, and then they put them in distilled water and put them on the shelf. And that's what we have, colloidal minerals. It gives you all the minerals you need. And then sitting next to it on a shelf is the colloidal silver. Colloidal is basically, it's Latin, and it means in liquid suspension. So you have colloidal minerals, you have colloidal silver, and yes, it is silver. It's microscopic particles of silver.
that are floating around in distilled water. Silver kills all known pathogen. And the stuff that we carry is not run-of-the-mill. If any of you have ever been into our store, you know we don't have anything run-of-the-mill here. Everything is special. Everything is the best that I can find on Earth. And this colloidal silver cured my foot fungus that I had picked up in Vietnam about 25 years ago. It cured it, and that's why we sell it. We've tested many others. This stuff works phenomenal. And for many other things. You'll use it for sunburn. You use it if you're stupid like me and you reach in and grab a flu that's 1,200 degrees into a fireplace. You use it to cure pink eye, sore throats. My cat, Felix, every morning when I take my shower, he wants fresh water in his sink. So the first thing I do is put the fresh water in the sink, and then I add about a tablespoon of colloidal silver. Now, we've been doing this since he was 4-ounce kitten. He will not drink that water until I put the silver in there, because that's his medicine, you see. And I tell him this. I said, all right, here's your medicine. So the silver has many different uses. And by the way, he's parasite-free and always has been, because the colloidal silver kills internal parasites. And below that on the shelf, we have the ionic minerals. Now, these are inorganic minerals. And the human body has a need for inorganic minerals as well as it has a need for organic minerals. And we have boron, cobalt, copper, germanium, gold, and this is real. To give you an idea how this stuff's made, I can't give it the exact procedure because then they'd kill me. But what this stuff is real, like the gold. They would start off with 5 gallons of triple distilled water and 5 ounces of pure gold. So we're looking at almost $6,000 in just the mineral itself. And then they do some process. It's chemical and electrical, and then everything's filtered again. So eventually all you're going to have is microscopic particles of that mineral and distilled water. So gold, iron, magnesium, potassium, platinum, selenium, sulfur, zinc, we have all of those. Oh, back to colloidal silver, we also have colloidal silver gel, which is great for fools like me who are bald and go out in the sun without a hat. Because, you put this stuff on. And I'm not kidding. I got so burnt on my head, I was getting sick. So I went in the house and got this colloidal silver gel out, and my wife was putting it on me about every 5 minutes. It would soak right in. It is literally a gel. But after a half an hour, everything was fine. The next day, no burn, no peel, nothing. Then we have toothpaste. This is Uncle Harry's toothpaste. And when I say paste, I mean paste. It comes in a little jar. This is the best toothpaste on earth. The ingredients in this start off with bentonite clay, calcium carbonate, colloidal silver, sea salt, ionic minerals, mustard seed, essential oils, eucalyptus, clove, cinnamon, wintergreen, and oregano, which is a very powerful antimicrobial. And there's different flavors. Now, cinnamon, peppermint, spearmint, and anise. Anise is like a real light black licorice. This stuff's potent. If you took a pea and cut it in half, that's how much toothpaste you need to use. Just that. And that, now, it is a paste, so it's a moisture. All you do is rinse your toothbrush off and just dab a little bit out of the jar. Now, if you want to store it, we found that after about 6 months, they start to harden. Well, it's easy. You just add a few drops of colloidal silver or just plain water and stir it up with a toothpick or something, and it goes back into the proper state. Now, if you don't want the paste and you want something a little more benign but will store for hundreds of years, we have the all-natural tooth powder. The only difference is it doesn't have colloidal silver in it. It's a powder. All right. Oh, and we have on the same shelf, we have extra virgin olive oil. Now, it'd be kind of strange for us to be selling this, but you use the extra virgin olive oil as a carrier oil for the oregano oil that we sell. But we still have, it's the best prices on earth. Ours comes directly from Tunisia. It's 16.9 ounces and it's $10. You can't beat that anywhere. Now we go over to the end cap. And what I'm looking at here are the vitamins and minerals, the pills and the capsules. And it starts off with the B1. Now, by the way, we use Nature's Blend. Nature's Blend is the only company that's a 100% U.S.-owned company. All ingredients are sourced from the United States. So it's a pretty small company, but this stuff has the best prices you're ever going to see. B1, vitamin B1, beta-carotene, ginseng compound, and then we have the three niacins. Now, we have the 100 milligram, 250 milligram, 500 milligram. do not compare this niacin with anything in any way, shape, or form that a doctor has ever given you. This stuff makes you flush and itch and burn. It's a special process that was developed many years ago to clean out cholesterol, and it really does. If you're interested in any kind of cholesterol cleansing without the drugs that can kill you, just give us a call. And our number is 800-753-1981. Then we have zinc lozenges. We have three different types of zinc here, capsules and lozenges. We have the 50 milligram zinc pill, 100 milligram zinc pill, and then we have the zinc lozenges. Now, in the test at Stanford University with application of zinc, they discovered that the longer it's in your mouth, meaning it's your sublingual glands are absorbing it, the more effective zinc becomes. So we have the zinc lozenges plus the two pills. Then we have a very powerful probiotic. This is a 16-strain probiotic. Then we have turmeric, hawthorn, and cayenne. Now, that is it's a mixture that's been used for thousands of years in the UK to treat hearts. Turmeric is an anti-inflammatory. Hawthorn is a cell strengthener for the heart muscle itself. And cayenne kills all kinds of parasites in your system, plus it strengthens and cleans your blood vessels. Then we have CoQ10. And this is something that everyone should be having. You can read about it. If you go to SE1.us, go to the health department, you're going to see links to all of these different products. Then we drop down to our products, Infinity brand. Infinity is products that we are it. Nobody else in the world carries them. And they are the strongest you're ever going to find, period. We have one product I designed to help re-energize the cilia inside your lungs. And most people go, what the hell does that mean? Well, the cilia, these microscopic hairs inside your lung, are what clears your lungs out. You know, you get up in the morning and you're hacking up crap and you're spitting it out. Well, it's because your lungs were functioning all night long, cleaning the crap out of your lungs. And because of the stuff in the air, not just the chemtrails, but everything else, all the contaminants in the air, anywhere in the world, and plus also with smokers. You smoke, you anesthetize these hairs and they just flat don't work. Well, this helps rebuild them. It helps strengthen them. Then we have a product called Candida Cleanse. And this does exactly what it says. If you have that fungus, it helps kill it off. Then we have our super enzyme capsules. Now, this is cool, and it cost me a lot of money to get it to this point. You get 90 capsules for $15, okay? These are wide-spectrum digestive enzymes. These are not made to just digest proteins or just digest carbohydrates. This is across the board. I even had a doctor who is an expert on enzymes. He came in here. I mean, he's an expert. He wrote books on it. He came in undercover. Okay. He had heard about our enzymes and he read about them online. And he comes in and he's talking to me and he's asking me all of these questions. And I'm answering them quick as a wink because I know everything about this stuff. And that's the thing. I know everything about everything we sell, period. It's not a big deal. It's not a boast. It's a fact. I know everything about everything we sell. I have to. Anyway, so he's asking me all this question about these enzymes, and finally he shakes his head and gives me his card, and he whips out the book that he wrote, and he signs it, and he gives it to me. That was kind of cool. Now, any of you in the medical field know what Cipro is. Cipro is supposed to be a very powerful antiviral that you give people if they have the flu. We have a product that is twice as effective as Cipro. It's called the Ultimate Immune Booster. It has olive leaf, elderberry, black elderberry, oregano oil. It's got some stuff in here that's very, very powerful. You take it every day. And that's the thing. In America, people have been brainwashed into thinking, oh, do whatever you want. Screw yourself up as bad as you want. Then you can come to the doctor and we'll unscrew you. Well, it doesn't work that way. I have yet to, and we've been in business over 35 years, I've yet to have somebody come in and say, you know, I had this bad problem and this doctor cured me. Most of the time, people come in and say, yeah, I had this bad problem and the doctors have me on this drug now that I've been on for 15 years. They're not here. Doctors are not here to cure anything. They're here to prolong everything. That's how they make the money. And anyone who thinks different is so either naive or complicit. I would much rather not get sick. That's what the products that we sell are for. It's for preemptively taking care of yourself so that you don't get sick. There's obviously no guarantee on it. Now, because I'm out on the showroom floor, you might hear people talking in the background and the phones and stuff. So, all right, then we have the omega 369. This is a 100% perfectly balanced source of omega fatty acids. You don't want to have just omega 3. You don't want to have just omega 6. You want to have all three of them, 3, 6, and 9. And then we have a Prostate Protect. This is standardized saw palmetto, which is in every single prostate protection nutritional product out there, along with stinging nettle and lycopenes. This is very powerful stuff. And then that's mostly for men. Then mostly for women is something called Time of Life. It's a menopause support. It works in some women. It doesn't work in others. That's what do I know? Then we have our oregano oil in gel caps. These are enteric coated. You take them, they go into your intestines, and then they open up, and you'll digest them that way. So they're very powerful and anti-inflammatory. We have the only source of glutathione known to man. It comes out of Japan. Very powerful. When you take any antioxidant, I don't care if it's A, B, C, D, whatever, it turns into glutathione in your system. So decades ago, Japanese scientists thought, well, instead of turning everything into glutathione, why not just take glutathione? So they developed a glutathione, but unfortunately, your stomach acid destroys it in the process of it trying to digest it. So what they came up with is it's known as reduced glutathione or pre-digested glutathione. That's what we have. And then we have our famous oregano oil. This comes directly from Turkey. It is not diluted. It is the strongest oregano oil on earth. It is a very powerful, widespread antimicrobial. It kills viruses, bacteria, fungus. My sister used this to cure her MRSA that she'd had on her body for a year. She'd gone through 4 antibacterial courses. Didn't phase it. Put her on this. A week later, boom, gone. Then we have tea tree oil. It comes from one place in the world. Don't let anybody fool you. There's only one tea tree oil on earth, and that's it. It is a very powerful antifungal. Our customers have used it to kill the mites in the ears of their dogs and cats. And speaking of fungus, if you have toenail fungus, fingernail fungus, a drop of our oregano oil kills it. There's on our website, each of our products, if there's a link to the page of that product, it tells you everything that I know about it. And oregano oil is just flat astounding. Then we have something, it's Swedish bitters. It's a concentrate. Comes only from one place in the world, comes from Germany. It's a mixture of 11 different herbs. Two of them are illegal to import into the United States by themselves, but in a mixture, it's okay. We import it once a year. It's out of all the products we sell, it's the one thing that I can point at when people say, well, what does it do? And I say, well, it's pure magic. It's pure magic what it does. It was invented in Germany about 500 years ago. All the doctors there had the idea that all man's ills come from his inability to digest food. So it was a digestive aid. You can read about it on our website, se1.us, and you'll see. Then we have something called stabilized oxygen. And basically what that is, and you'll find it under 4 or 5 different names, ion drops, oxy drops. It's a type of chloride that's been stabilized for human consumption. If you take 10 drops of this stuff, put it in a glass of water and drink it, the chemical reaction, when mixed with your stomach acids, releases oxygen ions. It literally oxygenates your system. Then we have Lugol's iodine. Lugol's iodine was invented in the 1840s. It wasn't to treat thyroid problems. It was to cure thyroid problems. Hyperthyroidism, hypothyroidism. It's an iodine. And it can be used to treat or handle your thyroid problem. It's also used to sterilize water. you know, you put 10 drops in a canteen full of water you just pulled out of the creek somewhere, it kills everything in it. You can also use it as an antimicrobial. You get cut or something, you can just put it on. It doesn't sting because there's no alcohol in it. So we have that. Then we have a line of sublinguals. These are little tiny micro tabs that you put under your tongue. And I would say 2/3 of them will dissolve within a minute or two. The other ones, sometimes you got to suck on them a little bit and maybe chew them a little bit and put them back under your tongue. What it is your glands under your tongue absorb all the nutrients. There are people who cannot swallow pills or capsules. So this is how they have to get it. We have a friend who has a tracheotomy. He can't take pills. So he uses these. And we have 100% multivitamin. It's a daily vitamin. Now it's very weak. It's not something some 6'2", 260 pounder is going to want every day. But it is a multivitamin. And if you have nothing else, or if you have a problem with pills or capsules, this is it. You want that. Then there's a product. It's we call it the no shot. If you've ever had a B12 shot in the butt and it hurts like hell, you get it because you need energy. Now, you don't need the shot anymore. You take this. It's B6, B12, folic acid. It's 1,000 micrograms of B12. It's perfectly balanced. You put a couple of these under your tongue. Boom. Then we have the balanced B complex. This is all of the B vitamins balanced. Then we have something that everybody now has to take. It's the D3. These are in the little tiny pills, right? Go into your tongue. And they're extra strength. Each one of them, each of these little tiny, tiny pills that go into your tongue, 10,000 units. And there's, what is in here? 100 of them? Something like that. Supposed to say. But that the D3 is something everybody has. And then there is a hormone, DHEA. You take with pregnenolone, and we have both of those products here. There's melatonin, and this is one of the weapons in our armory to use when you can't get to sleep. So melatonin, and then we have something called Slumber Helper, and this literally you put under your tongue, and it has a bunch of herbs in it. These are all herbal, by the way. Then we drop down to the next shelf, and we have something called Old Indian Wild Cherry Bark Syrup. I'm going to tell you how powerful this stuff is. This is, they call it a cough syrup. It's way stronger than that. I had a friend of mine, he's on GCN, named Vinny. He had a cough so bad last year that he actually tore his stomach. He had to have it repaired. And for some reason, he didn't call me. So I sent him a bottle of this, and the next day he calls me because I don't believe it. The cough's gone. Okay, this stuff's powerful. You have to see the ingredients to understand why. In fact, let me get my magic glasses out here, and I'll read these ingredients. Yerba Santa leaf, lovage root, elcampan root, my God, I can't even pronounce half of this stuff, black cherry bark, horsehound leaf, hyssop, aerial parts, yeah, man, it's just, I can't, marshmallow root, apricot seeds, stinging nettle, there's so much stuff in this thing, and you can't believe it. You pick up, it's an eight fluid ounce bottle, you pick it up, it's the weight of a hand grenade. That's how heavy this stuff is and how dense and thick it is. Then we have the only product known to man that helps dissolve bone spurs. It's called Acidical, and it is approved by the FDA to dissolve bone spurs. I discovered it when I had a bone spur on the heel of my right foot. And the doctors wanted to go in and cut and shave and trim and do all of this crap. And somebody come up and said, okay, it's from enzymatic therapy. It's Acidical. It dissolves bone spurs anywhere in your body. Now we have the topical pain relievers. Everybody's a little bit different. Some people use one thing and they put it onto a sore muscle and it's handled within seconds. Other people, it does nothing. I have, you know, that blue emu stuff. I have Deep Blue Relief Gel. It's got the emu oil in it and all of that. Does nothing for me, but I got customers that swear by it. Now I have also Unkers. Unkers is what you would call a therapeutic rub. It smells like Vicks Vapor Rub, but it's all natural. And the Amish use it as a medicine cabinet. I mean, they get shot, they put it on. They get a scratch, they put it on. You get a cold, they put it under their nose, rub it on their chest. I got years ago as a kid, I got in a fight with three semi-humanoid creatures and a brick. And I knocked the brick out of one of their hands, and I ended up hurting my little finger. I didn't know that at the time. It wasn't until we moved up here and it started to get to like 0 degrees, my little finger swelled up like a golf ball. And I went to the doctor and he said, well, you got a little microfracture there in your finger. So what? I didn't do nothing. He said, you did sometime. But yeah, it was years ago. So there's nothing they could do about it. He said, you're just going to have, every time it gets cold, you're going to have a pain in your right finger, right little finger. Just for the hell of it, I took the Unkers and I spread it around it. The pain went away instantly. And I did this for 3 days. And that was 5 years ago, and I haven't had another pain since. Now, this is a very strange product. People come in and say, oh, do you sell snake oil? And I say, yes. It's called Cobrazol. It's a roll-on topical gel. It's homeopathic. It's like a little roll-on deodorant bottle, and you it's clear. There's almost no smell to it at all. Doesn't stain. And you roll it on, and the pain just sort of goes away. It doesn't get hot. Doesn't get cold. It just, pain just goes away. It has three different snake venoms in it, along with the rest of the stuff. Yeah, and I asked the manufacturer, I said, look, is there any contraindications with this stuff? And he thought for a second. He goes, I wouldn't lick it. Okay, fine. So there's that stuff. Now we go over here. Now we're into the soap department. We sell Calben soap or five-star soap. It's made in Oakland, California by, and I don't know how old he is now, but a 90-year-old hippie. I've interviewed him before on the show. He used to be on Alex Jones all the time. This soap is all made from plants. He has a shampoo here, and it is the most efficient shampoo I've ever used in my life. I mean, I'm bald. What do I know from shampoo? But it's great on my beard. They got 16-ounce or 32-ounce. You take that. Now, if you have hair down to the center of your back, you'll take about a quarter-sized drop of that shampoo and use it. It's extremely, extremely concentrated. It's made from, and again, all this stuff's made from plants. Extra virgin cocoa butter oils, vegetable protein oil, amida coca fat, COCOA coca fat, essential coconut oil essence, vegetable fat conditioner. So it's all plants. There's no animal goo in there whatsoever. Yeah, then he has what he calls it pure soap. And it is pure soap. You can use it. We use it for dishes, to wash dishes with. We also use it to wash vegetables and fruits with. You put like a teaspoon of it in about 2 or 3 gallons of water, mix it up real good, and put your fruits and vegetables in it and let them sit for about 15, 20 minutes or so, and then rinse them all off, and they're clean. Then we have the Seafoam De-Stain Dishwasher Soap. It's an all-in-one thing also. It gets rid of the streaks that you get on your glasses. It's spot-free rinsing. Yeah, good stuff. Then we have the stuff that impresses the hell out of me. It's a Seafoam powder laundry soap. You use a scoop that comes with it. The scoop, a silver dollar won't even fit in the scoop. It's not that big. It's probably a quarter cup. And I wash 5 pairs of denim, of Levi's, with 1 cup of this stuff, 1 little scoop of this stuff. It's astounding how concentrated it is. I've had people over the years change to this from all other soaps that they use, Tide. Okay, first thing I tell them to do is wash your clothes with no soap in there whatsoever. And watch. Watch the water. It's going to foam up. And it does. Because the soap, they never get it out. It never comes out. So you wash your clothes when you're cleansing them to get all the soap scum left over out. And then you can swap over to the Seafoam. Now, normally, we would have bar soap, which is the purest soap that you're ever going to get. It's a 3-ounce bar. Unfortunately, because he's in Oakland, they can't get anybody to work for him to manufacture the soap, because the soap is very, very labor-intensive. Is the key that he told me. Okay, now we have some soap also. It's called Windriff Hill. It comes out of Montana. It's a family-owned company made from goat milk. Goat milk soaps. This stuff is astounding. It's real. It's all natural. And it's like apricot soap. Carrot with aloe. Cinnamon swirl. That's coffee and spice. Those two. Cinnamon swirl. Cinnamon squirrel. Yes, I wash myself with a squirrel every day. Cinnamon swirl and coffee and spice are my two favorites. Now, coffee, that's real coffee. There's coffee grounds in the damn thing. It's great. Emu oil soap, garden soap, essence of herb with cornmeal, eye opener, honeysuckle. And when it says honeysuckle, you pick up the bar of soap and you smell it, and you swear to God you're smelling a handful of honeysuckle. This is all natural. They use exactly what it says on there. If it says lilac soap, that's what's in it. So we carry a whole line of that, and it's all available on our website. You go to se1.us, and on the left-hand side, you'll see healthcare, personal care, water filters, food stuff on sale. So just take a pick. Go there. So I'm going back to healthcare right now. I can't get out into this showroom floor because too many customers coming in, too many phone calls going on, and my damn headset won't reach that far. Anyway, so now we're getting into the water purification systems. And what we are carrying right now is the Sawyer individual unit. Now, most people understand and they're used to the Life Straw, which is a long blue tube. All that is carbon. Carbon has been used for thousands and thousands of years to filter all kinds of stuff, but it's not going to take out biologicals. The Sawyer Mini uses the same filtering system that a dialysis machine uses. So it's very, very simple. It's like hundreds and hundreds of microfine tubes the water goes in. Now, this little unit is probably about 6 inches long, and it's got a nipple on both ends. On one end, that's where you suck. On the other end, you can put a little plastic straw that comes with it on it, and you can crawl around and suck out of the gutter, out of a creek, out of a stream. It doesn't matter. Or it has threads on the end of it that any bottle water fits on. Any water bottle that you got, it'll fit right on there and screw right on. Okay, so you can fill up a bottle, put it on there, and drink it. It comes with a pouch that you fill with water, and then you screw it on there, tighten it on, and you can either use that pouch to press water to drink from, or you turn it over and you squeeze it and squirt fresh water into a pot for cooking. Now, here's what makes it different than any other filtering system out there. First off, it removes up to and including all known bacteria. It doesn't remove viruses, but we don't have to worry about that in the United States. Most waterborne viruses don't last more than seconds in the water. You can clean this thing. When it gets dirty, and it's like you're really sucking hard to get anything out of it, well, it comes with this big syringe. Fill it with fresh water and backflush this unit. And you do that. You backflush it 3 or 4 times, all the crap comes out, and you're ready to go again. It will last you the rest of your life. It says on the package 100,000 gallons, but I called up the manufacturer. Now, this, they claim it's made in the United States. It's not. It's made in Norway. And I called up the manufacturer, and I was talking to him. He was very proud that someone from America actually cared enough to call him and ask him about his units. And, you know, that's what I do, is I research this stuff. I won't sell it unless I'd use it. So I called and talked to him, and I said, where did you get the idea, or how did you do the number that of 100,000 gallons of protection? And he said, oh, we just made it up. I said, you can't do that. I was taken aback, shall we say. And I said, you can't do that. You got to have some scientific testing. He goes, well, look, here's the problem. We've never had one wear out, ever. And we've been making them for 25 years. Every UK soldier has one. And I said, well, okay, never worn out? You mean you just keep cleaning it? He goes, yeah, just as long as you keep cleaning it, it'll last forever. Unless you break it, you know, run over it or something, lose it. We had one year, we had 1,000 of these things camouflage colored. I'll never do that again. Too many hunters up here kept dropping them in the woods. But then again, that might have been a great idea because they had to keep coming back in and buying more. So now they're all blue. I just blue or black. That's it. What happens is if you use it and then you allow it to freeze, what happens when things freeze? They expand. So they'll break. So as long as you take care of this stuff, and what I advise, and I probably should go find you somewhere, get a little pouch, one of those pull-tight pouches, roll this thing up, put it in there, and then keep it under your coat when you're up hiking or in the woods or something. Or keep it somewhere where it's not going to freeze. Okay, so that's what we have in the water filters. And they're only $20 a piece. We sell thousands of these things. And we have people that are just... Well, we have a guy, one guy comes in every month, buys one. He's got it in every one of his vehicles, You know, I have some specialty items. Ghost pepper, scorpion pepper, moruga pepper, plants. These are plants. They're little cans. They look like half a can of beer. And you grow it yourself. You pop the lid on it. It's already got the growth medium in it, and the seeds are in there. You follow the instructions. You add water, and then you'll have, you'll get 5 to 10 sprouts from each can. That's cool to do that. But if you want to really grow these things, after they get about 4 inches high, you separate them out and you plant them in each by themselves in a separate pot, a larger pot. I did that, and I got 4 plants about 4 feet high. That's good and a bad thing. Up here, we got a lot of deer. Now, I was growing the moruga pepper. Now the ghost chili, the ghost pepper is good. It has a good flavor to it. Scorpion pepper, that's where I start to draw the line. See, ghost pepper is at 1 million Scoville heat units. Scorpion's 1.4. The moruga, I won't even touch that. 2 million Scoville heat units. So I was growing the ghost. All right, the peppers are ready. They're ready to harvest. Now, listen, a word of warning. When you harvest these things and service them, you wear rubber gloves, you wear a goggle, and if you can, wear a mask. This stuff is nasty. So I'm saying to Angie, my wife, okay, this Friday, I'm going to harvest these things on Sunday. Woke up Saturday morning, the deer had eaten half of the plant. Half of the plant, not the whole plant, half of it. And we were laughing, thinking that poor deer is going to have an awful problem in a few hours. The next day, I woke up, and either that deer or somebody else came back and ate the rest of the plants. So you got to be careful about that. Now, you know, I talked about the oregano oil. There's oregano out there. There's two types of oregano people are used to. One is what we call Mexican oregano, which is a seasoning. This is the oregano seasoning that you buy. And the other is the Mediterranean oregano, which is the medicinal one. I used to know a guy who headed up a seed company, and I talked him into getting some of those original, those medicinal oregano seeds out of Turkey. He did. I have little pouches of them. These are the original Mediterranean medicinal oregano seeds. There are 1,000 seeds in the pouch, and I don't remember. It's like $3 or $5 or something like that. But you can grow your own. It's not going to be easy. You got to keep them warm, but you can grow your own. Then I got on sale a couple things. Well, right now, and I haven't updated the website, you know, credit cards and ID cards and Visa cards. When I say Visa, I mean passport cards. Most of them have RFID, radio frequency identification devices embedded in them. These RFIDs can be read by specific machines 75 to 100 feet away. And these machines, by the way, can be bought on eBay. So you can walk through the mall, if there's any mall still in existence. You can walk through the mall, and somebody, nefarious character who has bought the reading machine, can have it in a briefcase hooked up to his little laptop or his tablet on. And he can walk through the mall, and everybody who has an RFID embedded card, he can read all the data on it. Well, I have the sleeves. These are Mylar sleeves that are designed to block that. It'll fit a debit card, a credit card, passport card, driver's license, anything that has an RFID in it. And if you don't know what an RFID looks like, the cards are marked. They'll have a little mark on them. You just call us up and we'll talk to you about it. I'll be more than happy to explain it to you. You can come into the store. Now, I also, and I don't have this on the website yet either, the Voyager shortwave radio. This is AM, FM, shortwave, and the NOAA weather band. It's got a little solar panel on top of it, which will charge the included batteries that are in it. And these are not these cheap little 2032 button batteries. These are high quality batteries. There's 3 of them. They're about the size of a AA battery. It's what I have in our phones that we use here at the store. It has them already built in. Now, you'll have to plug them in. They're shipped unplugged, but you have to plug those in. Or you can add your own AA batteries to save those.
Okay, too many customers, so I got to swap from the headset back to the microphone stand and go back in my studio. So this radio, this Voyager radio, you use those batteries that come with it. You put your own in. It charges by crank. You can also, using a USB plug, plug it into your computer if you got a mail USB plug, and it'll charge the batteries that way.
And the cute thing is, you can plug your cell phone into the back of it and crank it and charge your cell phone or your netbook or your tablet. It'll charge these things. It's really cool. On the light, the solar panel, you flip it up and it's like 7 or 8 LEDs on there that are bright white. That will light up this store. If it's pitch black, you turn those on, you'll be able to see, not like a big giant flashlight, but you'll be able to see enough in there. So this has a lot of benefits to it. The AM, FM shortwave, just part of it. It also comes with an AC adapter, so you don't need to waste your batteries if you don't need to. You plug it in a wall. Now, when you get to shortwave, yes, it does have an antenna built into it, and it's good for AM or FM, but when you get to shortwave, the limiting factor on a shortwave radio is its antenna. So I've included in this kit an antenna. It's a little roll-up antenna. It's you know, about 2.5 inches in diameter, 21 feet of wire on it. And it has an adapter that you take and you pull an antenna up from a radio. It doesn't have to be this one. You can use it on any radio and some TVs. Pull the antenna up, clip it on there, reel out the 20 feet, toss it out the window, hang it up in the attic. I don't care what you do with it, but all of a sudden you got a 20 foot plus antenna. It really works great. We were up in the hills, and I deployed one of these up a tree, and we were listening to a baseball game in San Francisco. Now, that's pretty cool because I was in northern Idaho, about 10 miles from the Canadian border. So that little antenna works pretty good. And we have a whole line of different knives. You never know what kind of knives. Most of them are folding knives. We deal with cold steel. We deal with buck knives. We also have battle-ready katanas. These aren't display swords. These are real swords. You can take them into battle if you had to. If a zombie apocalypse comes, you're ready. So we've got those, and they're anywhere from $150 up to $400. Now, that's the mainstay of everything we have in this store. But the other part of it is that I'm downsizing my house, so I'm bringing all kinds of weird crap here. We have a rack full of clothes. We don't have normal clothes. So we got a rack full of clothes. We have boots. We have some boots here. I got a pair of boots, Red Wing boots, slip-on, that I bought at a Union store over 30 years ago. I've only wore them when I go to court, which unfortunately was a little too often when I lived in California. I mean, serious, that's it. I can't wear them anymore. I had an operation on my foot, and one of my toes sticks up just a quarter inch enough to where it causes intense pain. And yeah, I can stretch the leather, but then it would look stupid as hell. So I'm put them out there for sale. We've got books. I went through my library at home. I pulled out probably 300 or 400 books. Those are all for sale here. Most of you know I was a master gunsmith for 25 years. I have my gun library. I don't need it anymore. I retired in 05. I don't work on guns. This library has books in it that most people have never seen. It's big. It's got two shelves packed full of this stuff, including assembly, disassembly books. I have manuals for almost every firearm known to man. And we were Class 3 manufacturers at one time, so I have a lot of data on that. All of this stuff, I'm going to sell one-shot deal to somebody who wants it all. Well, I think I can get a hell of a lot of money parting out some of the books that I have. So we've got those. I've got collections. You ever seen these gold-plated, gold foil, stamps? They're commemoratives from some society, right? And you buy one a month, and it costs you $20 each for one of these things. I got thousands of them. I got a complete collection of pennies. I've got all kinds of, like I said, weird stuff here. My brother's was one of the reps for the National Rifle Association, so guess what I got all the time? Stuff from the NRA. I got some glasses called One Shots. There's a nice whiskey glass that has a .223 round embedded in it. It's weird. So we have all kinds of weird stuff here. And as I sell it, I bring more weird stuff. Hell, I got a set of 18-inch Michelin tires on the showroom floor as well. So, I just wanted to give you guys the lowdown on our store and what's going on. And we are doing everything we can to survive and have been since we got put on this, what they call the match list for MasterCard. We were put on it. It was purely political. This is the new way to destroy conservative businesses, is to take away their ability to take credit cards. And that's exactly what they did to us. And this occurred last year on my birthday in December. There's no way that's a coincidence. And we're not going to be able to take credit cards again unless I rename the company and move. And the problem I have, yes, I have most of your emails, and I can send you an email and say, look, this is what's happening. But your servers, most of your servers, have us blacklisted as spam. I send 6,000 emails out. Do you know how many of you will open those emails? Less than 1,000. Because your email server said, oh, this is spam, and throws me into your junk pile or trash pile or spam pile, whatever folder it is. And that's what happens. And most of you don't even look. You don't look at those files at all. So this has been going on for 20 years. So we're just doing what we can to stay alive. And this is a family business. My son, Eric, my wife, Angie, and my cat, Felix, and me. And we've been doing this for over 35 years. And if my wife is here, she would probably say, nah, 37. So, well, whatever. Okay. Well, that's all I'm going to chatter on about this stuff. So next week is my Christmas show. So obviously you won't hear from me. But next week will be my Christmas show. And it's always entertaining and will always bring a tear to your eye. And I'll be busy putting all kinds of weird stuff that I'm getting rid of up on eBay. You wouldn't believe some of the stuff I've got. I have a series of books that weigh hundreds of pounds. So I got my work cut out for me. Merry Christmas to all of you. You won't hear from me again till beginning of January. And I know most of you think that we're screwed and the world is going to end because we have communists that are now going to be in charge of the United States. Unless, of course, Trump pulls that magic rabbit out of a hat. But it's doesn't look like anything's going to happen other than what the swamp wanted to happen. Keep your nose in the air, ear to the ground. Pay attention to everything that's happening around you. And be aware of what's happening. Think ahead. Don't ever think, oh, it's never going to happen to me. Don't ever think that. Luckily for me, I never had that thought in my mind. Years ago, when I first started my radio show, a guy sent me a beer cozy, and it says on the outside, yes, it is as bad as you think, and they are coming to get you. I thought that was a joke. I don't anymore. Anyway, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. This is the Armchair Survivalist signing off.